Psalm 27, all right. You turn to Psalm 27 and we'll pray here in a minute. But actually, when I got done preaching this morning and I went to pick up my iPad, I saw that there was some notes there, some Bible verses that I didn't touch on. And I got to thinking about it and I thought, you know, that would be a good topic for tonight. And you see up there on the screen, I call it spiritual cancer. What is cancer? Okay, ask yourself that question. What is cancer in our bodies? What would spiritual cancer be? And one of the things that over the last few years that God has helped me understand is the correlation between our physical bodies and all of the systems in our bodies and how they relate to things in the Bible. And it makes sense. God made us in His image. You know, we are in the image of God, in the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. And there's just certain things that God does that matches not only what's in the Bible, but it's in our bodies as well. And something that is interesting to me is the things that go on in our body, what our blood is made of, what our individual tissues are made of, the idea of cells, and cells have a nucleus in it, and that nucleus has DNA in it. You know, red blood cells, white blood cells, things like that. These are all things that we take for granted in knowing. But that scientific knowledge, at best, is 150 years old. At best, okay? You're looking at the first crude microscopes coming about in the latter part of the 1700s into the 1800s, and guys are looking at things they'd never seen before and formulating theories on that. Well, now we live in this age of science, and there really isn't a whole lot that can be hidden from man but what he's able to detect and pick up somehow, some way. And what absolutely fascinates me is that the way now that man is understanding God's creation, God had that written out in the Bible for thousands of years. Science now is not disproving the Bible. It's proving it. Charles Darwin comes up with this theory of evolution, and that millions... Here's what evolution is, in my opinion. Evolution is billions and billions of genetic mistakes that have taken place in every species on Earth in order for us to have what we have right now. Okay, that's what you have to believe. You have to believe that everything about humans that is good and right and sophisticated and everything like that was a series of genetic accidents. Shouldn't have happened that way. Okay, that's what you have to believe. I think it's easier to just believe that God made everything all at once. And so science is, in my opinion, only proving how right the Bible is and has been from the beginning. David said, "Thy words are true from the beginning, therefore thy servant loveth them." Which I think it means, Genesis chapter 1, I think you believe what Genesis 1 says. It's true from the beginning. How can we expect God to tell us the truth about the future when we don't believe Him about the past? Okay? It doesn't work that way. So anyway, I got to thinking about, there's some verses in the Bible that just really have stood out to me in the last, a couple years or so, just studying and the Bible issue itself, what's going wrong with so many churches and pastors and ministries and different things like that. So we're going to talk about spiritual cancer tonight. You're there in Psalm 27, and actually, what really nailed this for me was Courtney was at home this morning with the kids, and Liam's still sick and so on, and she was kind of upset she couldn't be in church this morning. And I told her, I said, we stream our services. Imagine that. So they had church in her home this morning, and she sent me a little text message after the message today, and she said, "Dad, that was a good message. I needed that." And she said she had a lot of anxiety in her, and she said, "I opened up to Psalm 27, and she said it just brought me out of it just like that." So I read Psalm 27. And it actually, there's a place in here that fits perfectly in with this concept of spiritual cancer. And I want to see if you pick it up, okay? Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. From the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me, put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help, leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over into the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Now there's two verses in here that just really jump out at me. Okay? And if you think you've got them, just hang on to that, all right? We're going to talk about cancer, how it works. It works in the physical realm. It works this exact same way. The Bible says it does. It works this same way in the spiritual realm or in spiritual people's spiritual lives. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, God, Lord, for a good day. Thank you, Lord, for some good fellowship we had today. And I pray, Lord, that you'd bless us. Use us for your kingdom and your glory's sake. Lord, I thank you, dear God. You just place it upon our heart. Needs to pray for, people to pray for, things to pray about. Needs, Lord, in our lives or in other people's lives. We just, Father, Lord, we just ask you, God, to give us a ministry of reconciliation, a ministry, Lord, of being peacemakers, bringing people to you, Lord, a prayer ministry whereby we pray for other people and their needs and their lives. Lord, just lay it upon the heart of your people, Lord, to just spend some time praying, giving our supplications, turning over our hearts to you, confessing our sins, confessing the sins of our family and of our nation. Father, just lay that ministry on somebody's heart tonight, Lord, and use them in a mighty way. Prayer, Lord, it's what you established as our way of telling you or crying out to you the things that we need in this life. We thank you, Lord, for having understanding, for having compassion on us, and having a patient heart for us, God. Use us again, Lord, for your kingdom and your glory's sake. Let you get all the praise, all the honor, all the glory. You are the one who deserves it, O Lord. I pray, God, that you'd bless us tonight. Bless us as we study your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Let me, some of the verses that I had up this morning, I'm going to kind of cover those again very quickly, but so you kind of know where I'm going. We're dealing with the soul on Sunday morning, and this morning we were talking about how the soul has a disease, and that disease is called sin. Psalm 119:25, my soul cleaveth unto the dust, quicken thou me according to thy word. And what he's doing, he's giving you, the Bible is telling you that your soul is doomed to die. It could be corrupted. It could be afflicted with sin. The remedy for that, the cure for that, is God's word. Quicken thou me according to thy word. I'm running through some thoughts in my mind, but I got a lot to say, so I'm going to move on. Verse 28, same chapter. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Where are we going to get our strength from? We're going to get it from the word of God. Verse 50, this is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. And if you're like me, when I get sick, I don't want to go to work. I don't want to get up and try to walk it out. I don't want to go to the doctor. I want to lay in bed, cover up, heating pads all over my body. Whatever medicine I can get in me, that's what I like to be comforted when I'm sick. If you like to get up and go to work, that's your business. I like to be comforted. So God's word will give us comfort in our afflictions. Verse 107, I'm afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. Proverbs 16:24, pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul, health to the bones. The word of God brings health to your soul. How many of you take something on a daily basis that is sort of like a maintenance, like you take vitamins or you take some kind of supplements or you take some kind of something another that just kind of, yeah, we won't get into that. That just kind of help you not sick, but you don't want to be sick, right? So maybe you take some kind of vitamin supplements. Lisa and I, we take vitamin supplements all the time, every day. And that's not because we're sick. It's because we don't want to get sick. So that's what you do. And that's what that word is. It's sweet to the soul and health to the bones. The pleasant words of God are maintenance medicine. That'll keep... It's healing medicine for when we do something stupid. Amen? But who said you had to go out and do something stupid all the time? Amen? Get some medicine in you so you won't go out and do that. All right? So anyway, that's kind of what we were talking about this morning. And then... in fact, there's a verse I do want you to turn to. It's going to be sort of the basis of what I'm preaching to you tonight. Take your Bible. I got to find it very quickly. Here we go. Take your Bible. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Turn there. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Where did I say to go? 2 Timothy chapter 2. I caught on to this here a while back, doing some study, realizing just how dangerous some things are in this world. 2 Timothy chapter 2, look at verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Verse 16, but shun profane and vain babblings. In other words, stay away from nonsense. That's what babblings are. Stay away from people that babble. Stay away from Babylonians that babble. Amen? That means don't go to a church where they're going. Stay away from, shun that stuff. That's not edifying. That's not a blessing to hear people going. You get nothing out of that. Nobody ever listens to that and goes, oh, wow, man, that was right in my soul. What'd they say? I have no idea. You read 1 Corinthians 14, that's what Paul's getting at. He said, I would rather speak 5 words where people could understand it than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Okay? Shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more godliness. Now look at verse 17. And their word will eat as doth a what? Canker. The word cancer, the English word cancer, and canker, they are the same word. The spelling has changed in the last 400 years, but it's the same word. Okay? So what I did was, Sister Pam, I looked up. I thought, well, I want to know what the word canker means. So I went and looked it up. You know what it means? Something that eats stuff up. And that, look at the verse. Their word doth eat like a canker. The definition was right in the very verse I was looking at. Okay? Their word doth eat as a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past and overthrow the faith of some. Now watch this. Cancerous words. Soul cancer, spiritual cancer. And I'm going to show you what cancer is, how it operates in the body, and I'm going to show you how spiritual cancer is the same way and how it works inside of a church or a home or a family, or a nation, or a denomination, or whatever. I'm going to show you how that works, all right? Their word doth eat as a canker. A canker, or a cancer, is something that just consumes. It eats away, all right? Now, what I did was I just went to Wikipedia, and just got some very simple things about cancer. Cancer occurs after a single cell in a tissue, let's say any of your soft tissue or anything like that, it starts out with one cell. Remember what Paul said about leaven? A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. How does that work? Leaven is like cancer. It just takes over. Once you got a little bit of leaven in that dough, is that at the right temperature? It's got the right moisture to it. Once that leaven is awakened by that temperature and that moisture, it immediately begins to multiply, divide, multiply, divide, multiply. It immediately begins to spread itself out. That's how we get leavened bread. That's how it works. Same thing with cancer. It only takes one cell going bad. That's all it takes. This world is full of, boy, if you eat this, you won't get cancer. And if you don't do this, you won't get cancer. And if you kind of stay away from this stuff over here, or maybe kind of eat this diet over here, you're going to avoid cancer. And listen, I understand that there are things and lifestyles that we live right now in this world that you're consuming cancer. Okay? Some things we're doing, we're bringing it on ourselves. I get that. But the truth of it is, how do you totally avoid a disease, a killing disease, that all it needs is one cell? How do you avoid that? Okay? So it's a single cell in a tissue as progressively genetically damaged. What does that mean? It means the DNA in that cell, which is a book. In thy book all my members were written, David said. In that book, when that cell went to duplicate itself and make another cell, a transcription is made of that DNA and sent over to the new cell so that they both have the exact same DNA. Who in here has a King James Bible in their hand right now? Raise your hand. Who in here has an NIV? See how it works? There's no cancer in this church. Okay? At least not that form. All right? There's other forms. But anyway, so what happens is something happens in the DNA, in the wording of the book, in one cell, and once it duplicates itself, now there's two cells with bad DNA in it. What's going to happen in about 30 to 45 minutes? There's fixing to be four cells with it. Then there's going to be eight. Then there's going to be, I don't have 16 fingers, so I can't hold that up. There's going to be 16, huh? I'm not pulling my shoes off. 16, 32, 64, 128. Boom. Now you've got a problem. You see what it is? A cell gets damaged in its genes, in its genetic makeup, its DNA. So it produces cells with uncontrolled proliferation. What that means is there's nothing to stop it. Uncontrolled proliferation means it just keeps growing. More and more cells are being turned into cancerous cells. And the cancer cells themselves are dividing and multiplying in an exponential manner. This uncontrolled proliferation by mitosis. Mitosis is the process of how a cell goes from one cell to two cells. Mitosis is going out soul winning. Okay? You find one old poor sinner, and he wants to be saved, you give him the gospel. You give him Romans 3.23, Romans 6.23, Ephesians 2.8 and 9, Romans 10.8, 9, and 10, 1 John 1.9, John 3.16. You give them Bible verses, and they come to the Lord. When they get saved, you give them a Bible. Say, now read John, read some Psalms every day, start reading this Bible. You won't understand it all one day, but just start reading it. And what's happened is this person now becomes just like us. Amen? Okay, that's what mitosis is. The cell divides, gives it a copy of its DNA. Now there's two of them, like church growth. Two of them go out. Now there's four of them. Now there's eight of them. So that's what it is. So during mitosis, it produces a primary heterogenic tumor. I'm not even going to get into that part. The cells which constitute the tumor eventually undergo metaplasia, followed by dysplasia, then anaplasia. I'm not going to bore you with that stuff either. The reason why I'm not going to bore you with that stuff is I have no idea what that means. But you know me. There's a pattern here. It results in a malignant phenotype or a tumor, malignant tumor, cancerous tumor. This malignancy allows for invasion into the circulation, followed by invasion to a second site for tumorigenesis. What that's saying is that cancer gets big enough and bad enough, it's going to get into the blood. Once it gets into the blood, what happens there? There's going to be tumors all over the body. Okay? Now you think of, number one, think of yourself, your spiritual self. Number two, think of your family or your household. Number three, think of your church. Can the devil overthrow churches with cancer? Better believe it. Okay? Let me show you. If you don't like gory stuff, then don't look. That is a human liver. The white areas are cancer cells. And remember, it started out with one cell. One. And how much of that liver is left and how much cancer is there? If a doctor saw that, he would say, there's nothing we can do for this person. You're going to die. Okay? That's what it does. Canker, cancer, it consumes. And what it's doing is, alongside of it dividing and making more of its own cells, it is consuming the cells around it. It's eating up the good stuff and replacing it with bad stuff. Is that simple enough for everybody to understand? Now, let me just run through this very quickly. All tumor cells show six hallmarks of cancer. In other words, there are six signs that a doctor will look for. Okay? These are all things that are required to make a malignant tumor. Cell growth and division. Okay? Those things are going to grow. Continuous growth and division, even given contrary signals. I don't know what all that means. I just caught on to this today. Number three, avoidance of programmed cell death. And I'll explain that to you in a minute because you're going to see something. I'm going to have you open your Bible and you're going to go, there it is right there. Programmed cell death is a defense mechanism that God built into your body. Okay? It would be like, let's say that that's an NIV. Okay? And Ryan comes into church one time and says, boy, Pastor Mike, he said, my great uncle, he died and left me his Bible. And boy, it's very precious to me, and I'd like to start using this Bible in this church. And you hand it to me, and I start reading it, and I'm going, Ryan, this is a New International Version Bible. Well, what's wrong with that? Well, let me show you 1 John 5:7. It's missing. There's no Acts 8:37. Here in Daniel chapter 3, they call him a son of the gods, not the son of God. That is programmed cell, what did I say? Cell death. He shows up with a false Bible, and I say, trust me, you don't want this thing. We need to get rid of this thing. This thing's poison. So he trusts his pastor. He says, well, I know my uncle gave that to me. Maybe I'll use it to anchor the kitchen table where it don't wobble or something like that. It'll be used for something, all right? Okay? What I'm doing is I'm cutting off this thing. We're going to kill it so it has no effect inside this church. God built that into us. If a cell shows up and it's got something messed up in its DNA, there's something in your body that will trigger the death of that cell and kill it before it has a chance to duplicate itself. God's good, isn't he? Okay? I was going to give that back to you, but I can't. That's the NIV. But anyway, limitless number of cell divisions promoting blood vessel construction. Not only will the cancer tumors divide and multiply themselves, they'll start building their own blood vessels so they can get a fresh blood supply. Listen, they got to live. So what they're going to do is they're going to take good blood from the good parts of your body and steal it for themselves. I didn't know all this. Invasion of tissue and formation of metastases. You know what that is? When a cancer metastasizes, that means it's gotten into the blood, and there's going to be tumors pop up all over the body. Okay? Invasion of tissue. They're going to come in and they're going to start swallowing up. What if I didn't want to offend him or hurt his feelings or anything like that, and I didn't say anything about his NIV Bible and he didn't know any better? All of a sudden now, he's gonna say, "Boy, I like this NIV better, Jody. Boy, Jody, you need to go out and get you an NIV. I like it better." So she goes out and gets her one. Starts spreading. You know what? The Jody that believed the King James is gone. The Jody that went after the new Bible is replacing her. See it? That's cancer. That's how it works. This Bible's right. Now, programmed cell death. You guys see this. The medical word for it is apoptosis. Not a Pop-Tart. Apoptosis. Apo, A-P-O in Greek. The word apostasy means falling away. The APO part of that word means falling off or falling away. Apoptosis literally means falling away. And here's what it is. Programmed cell death. When the DNA is altered in a cell, there's a process by which the body can prevent the cell from doing further damage. Apoptosis literally means falling off or falling away. Psalm 27. Did you find that verse? Look what it says. When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, come upon me to do what? Eat up my flesh. They stumbled and... Isn't it something? The scientists think they're so smart. Oh, look, we found apoptosis. The body takes a bad cell and kills it off, so it falls away and it's become nothing. God's been doing that in our lives for years. Amen. The enemy are the words that doth eat. They eat up my flesh. That's what cancer is. And I saw that. Courtney sent me that today right after church. And I looked at that. I read it and I went, God wanted me to see that. Okay? Think about it. That the man of sin is going to be revealed. And before you and I split heaven wide open, there shall be a falling away first. Programmed cell death. There's going to be an apoptosis happening on this earth. Everybody that has been corrupted by the cancerous words of this world, they're going to fall away. You and I are going to be safe. Okay? Man, I like this Bible. Now, let's get back to those words that I told you I didn't know what they mean. Primary heterogenic tumor, metaplasia, dysplasia, anaplasia. So when I didn't want to take the time to find out what they meant, I just counted them. There's four stages of cancer. 1, 2, 3, 4. How many gospels are there? 1, 2, 3, 4. You see it? See the difference? One gives life. The other brings death. Okay? Be not deceived, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:33. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Let's say that, I won't put that up there, but that picture of the liver. How many of you got a liver? And as far as you know, yours is working pretty good, right? Okay? It is doing what God designed it to do. What can happen? Cancer is a corruption in the DNA, literally the words of the book. It then becomes an evil communication. It's not good. It's bad. And that evil communication, that genetic structure from that one cell being in your liver, mark it down. If that cell has not been targeted for programmed cell death, apoptosis, if the body can't kill that cell, because apparently, in order for it to become cancer and become a tumor, the genetic structure of that cell is changed in such a way as the body cannot target it for destruction. I don't know exactly. I'll have to study this more to find out what the body's looking for. But somehow, some way, it hides itself from the body so that the body doesn't find it. And when the body can't find it, it can't destroy it. And all the while, it's duplicating itself. Now, here's something that comes to mind. Jude told us, certain men crept in unawares. Okay? If a guy comes in this church, he comes walking in, he said, God sent me to this church. Okay, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Been watching you online. Boy, I know God sent me to this church. And they come in the first Sunday and say, Pastor, scoot over for a minute. I want to talk to your people. Never going to happen. God has told me that we all in this church, we need to be speaking in tongues. And we need to be, there's a new Bible out called The Message. And really, that's where the truth is. We need to be reading The Message Bible. And we need to have more of you women come up and take a stand behind the pulpit, things like that. How far would that go around here? Yeah. Who said it was a her, Jimmy? Okay. They'd be out the door. See, somebody comes in like that, we would immediately recognize it and say, we're targeting you for program cell death. Amen? So they don't come in that way, do they? They come in unawares. Somehow, someway, the body is unable to determine that that's a bad cell, and it can't target it. It's a wolf dressed like a sheep. That's the way I got it figured. I hadn't even read the medical books on this thing yet, but I bet you that's how it works. Once that happens, it's going to communicate its evilness into wherever it is. And pretty soon, you've got a liver now that is mostly cancer tissue and very little good, not enough liver for you to stay alive. You're going to die. A church is going to die. A denomination, a ministry, a family, or whatever is going to die. But that four stages there, that's what got me because I knew that was biblical. Four times in your Bible, Paul warned us specifically about a different gospel. 2 Corinthians 11:4, another gospel. Galatians 1:6, another gospel. Galatians 1:8, any other gospel. Galatians 1:9, any other gospel. Four places the Bible warns you about something that's false, a false gospel. That false, in fact, look at Galatians 1:8, 9. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. What happens to the person who preaches a false gospel? They're cursed. What happens to the people who follow the false gospel? They're cursed. They're bringing death into the body. And they'll do it in stages. Never all at once. Never overnight. It's always done in progressive stages. If it's not caught early, and you know what they say, oh, he's got cancer, but we think we caught it early enough. That means they caught it stage one, stage two, something like that, and they can deal with it. But when it gets stage three, stage four, somebody says they've got stage four cancer, what does that mean to us? That's it. It's already gone too far. You see what I'm saying? And I'm not. Alicia's sending me a text message. Metaplasia is Greek. I missed the rest of it. It popped up here on my screen. Anyway, I'll look at that later. But anyway, cancer would be represented in a church as a false gospel or in a person's life as a false gospel. And anything beside Christ's death on the cross, resurrection, blood atonement, satisfying the just demands of God, salvation by grace through faith, anything beside that, that is a false gospel. And once it gets in, if not caught soon enough, it will come in and steal and destroy. And everybody that believes it will be accursed. Here's what it looks like in today's world. The Living Bible, the Message Bible, today's NIV, the Good News Bible, the Amplified Bible, New Revised Standard Version, English Standard Version, New International Version, New King James Version. That is any other gospel. You say, well, it teaches, you know, teach the same thing. Let me ask you a question. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave what? His one and only son. See, you guys caught that, didn't you? You caught that. He is not his one and only son. We are sons of God. He is the only begotten of the Father. The only begotten son. Have you altered the gospel by changing who Jesus is? You better believe it. You better believe it. Think of that number four again. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, a son of the gods. Son of God. And I shared this with you, the difference in Swahili, Mungu versus Miungu. One letter. Miungu, gods, plural. Mungu, God, singular. How many cells have to be cancerous before it's dangerous? How many mistakes can there be in our Bible? None. And if your cell happened to form a variant DNA strand in it, your body targets it for destruction. Your body says, we're not going to put up with that. That's dangerous to the whole of the body, and we're going to target it. God's smart, isn't he? That's a false gospel. So here's what I found out. There's two methods by which cancer will get into someone's body and affect it. Number one, cancer by way of genetic alteration. That's what this is. That's genetic alteration. The DNA of this church is this 1611 Bible. You know what that means? All of us have the same father. It means we're all brothers and sisters. Amen? And we fight like brothers and sisters sometimes. Amen? But we are brothers and sisters. Amen. Okay? People who have a different DNA have a different father. These Bibles are not the pure, incorruptible Word of God. They are genetic alterations. Okay? So watch this. Here's how it works. When a cell divides, a copy of the DNA is made and transferred to the new cell. That's called mitosis. So that both cells have identical genetic material. And up there on the screen, here's a picture here of cell mitosis. What happens is there's 46 chromosomes in this cell, and that in those 46 packets is the entire genome for that person's body. Everything in that person's body is encapsulated in these little 46 packets called chromosomes. When a new cell is going to be made, this cell here doesn't get stingy. It gives him the whole thing. Amen? The whole packet. Here, you can have the whole thing. We're going to give you... I think anybody who gets saved, they ought to get a free King James Bible. Yeah. Amen? That's what we do. We give them the Word of God. That's what a cell does. Gives them the whole thing. Now, here's what's interesting. Is that... Let me see if I can illustrate it like this. Okay? Whose is this anyway? Okay. So you found it when you was cleaning. All right. So let's watch this. Okay? Here is the entire genetic thing. Your 46 chromosomes. Your whole DNA book is right here. What happens is, when it's going to make a new cell, this double helix here will rightly divide. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Okay? This half goes to the new cell. This half stays in the old cell. So they both have it. Now, it's got to be put back together. It's got to be double-stranded in the cell. How in the world, out of 3 billion different connections, how would you like to put together a fiber optic cable that had 3 billion little bitty wires in it, Mike? 3 billion. And you couldn't get one of them wrong. If you got one of them wrong, you've just destroyed America's missile defense system, all right? How does this cell and this cell know how to put that back together? See what I did here? See that little cut there? there's a corresponding one right there. See how it just fits together? In genetic language, you have four base pairs: adenine, guanine, cytosine, and thymine. You ever try to put a square peg in a round hole? It won't work, will it? Square peg has to go in a square hole. Round peg has to go in a round hole. The rules are, on this half of the DNA, if it's a cytosine here, that's a round hole. It must be a round peg, which is guanine. Cytosine always and only connects to guanine. So if it's cytosine here, what does the new cell know that it has to be over here? Guanine. Everybody say guanine. Cytosine, guanine. If it's thymine, I forgot it. Thymine here, what must it be over here? Adenine, A. That's the rules. Square peg, square hole. Round peg, round hole. God designed it that way so that it would be easy to put it back together. In Isaiah 34, 16, seek ye out the book of the Lord and read, no one of these shall fail, none shall want her mate. Adenine mates with thymine. Guanine mates with cytosine. And when they get it all put back together, it's a perfect copy of what came from the old cell. Isn't that beautiful? Same way. Now, it works that way, good and bad. If that cell has genetic alteration in it, the seeds of cancer have already been sown. When it makes a new cell, what's it going to make it like? The old cell. And every cell then that comes off of that one is going to be just like, listen to this now, it's going to be just like its father. Jesus told those people, you are a generation of you sons of Belial. Ye are of your father, the devil. He wasn't kidding, was he? Some of those people were just cancer waiting to be born in somebody. Okay? Their words were cancer by way of genetic alteration. Here it is in your Bible. Psalm 27, 12. Deliver me not over to the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me. An NIV Bible is a false witness of Jesus Christ. It is not who Jesus is. He is not a son of the gods, and he is not the one and only son of God. He is the son of God and the only begotten son of God. The NIV is a false witness. False witnesses are rising up against what's in your body. The genome has been altered, and now they're going to make more just like them. And David prays that he would not be turned over to the will of his enemies. In other words, don't let their cancer kill me, God. Matthew 26, 59. Now the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet they found none. At the last came two false witnesses. The DNA strand on one side, the DNA strand on the other. The Old Testament, New Testament of a false Bible are the two false witnesses that are in churches now. In Mark 14, 56, here's what it said. For many bear false witness against him, but their witness agreed not together. Now, why are there so many modern translations that are so wrong in what they say? It all goes down to two early manuscripts. One called the Vaticanus. Guess where it came from? The Vatican. The other one came from a monastery in Mount Sinai, Egypt. They both claim that they're from 300 AD. All of the preachers, all the scholars, all the Bible college, they all say the same thing. These are the earliest and most reliable Greek manuscripts. That's why these new translations are better than that old stinky King James. You see, they've all been taught to say the same thing. I was taught to say this about them. That's what they told me to say, is that we have better manuscripts now. No, we don't. Because the Vaticanus and Sinaiticus disagree with each other in just the four Gospels into the thousands of times. They don't agree with each other. Let me show you this. Up there on the screen is, this was published in the late 1800s, a man took the, I think it's the Sinaiticus Greek manuscript, and he line by line compared it with the Greek text that comes from the King James, or where the King James comes from. What you have is the Greek text of, I think, the Sinaiticus. See all those blocks in yellow? Those are all words. I made this graphic. I took one page out of this Greek Codex Sinaiticus. This is out of the book of Timothy. One page out of it, probably about 11 or 12 verses. And every one of those yellow boxes is where the Sinaiticus omits a word that is found in the Greek text from the King James. One page, 11 verses, every one of those words are missing out of the Greek text that underlies the Message, the NIV, the English Standard Version. So you multiply that by however many other pages there are in the New Testament. That's how bad the problem is. You show up to the doctor like this and he'll tell you, I'm sorry, there's not anything we can do for you. Wow. Now, here's another way cancer affects your body. And it took me a while to figure this. The first one was cancer by genetic alteration. In other words, all these false Bibles coming in. Okay? That's one way. The other way is called cancer by way of epigenetics. Epi means outside of. So there's cancer where the cell has bad DNA in it, and every cell after that repeats the corruption of the original cell. So that would be a church that is reading out of the Message Bible or the English Standard Bible, but they're not using the King James. Does that make sense to everybody? Epigenetics is like this. Sterling, you and I put together enough barbecue grills and various other things. We get these books, instruction manuals. Do you see what he just did? You just proved my point. You nailed it, old man. Sterling takes these books and goes, I don't need that. And he puts her together. Now, he's better at it than I am. When I do, Lisa's going, what are those extra parts? Lisa, they send those in case you break one of the other parts. Yeah. Epigenetics is like this. The DNA is intact. The DNA in the cell is like all the other DNAs in the cell. But there's a problem. The DNA not only is the recipe book for what needs to be made, but it's also the manual for how it's to be put together. Does that make sense? So you'll have an exploded diagram, which is all the parts that are there. That's what an exploded diagram shows. And you look, okay, I got all the parts. I don't need the rest of this. I'll figure it out on my own. So here's what epigenetics looks like in the church. In other words, the outside, the DNA is unchanged, but the way the DNA instructions are carried out is not the way the DNA says to do it. It's called gene expression. So here you have, and I was talking about this morning. That lady showed up with a Bible called the Spirit-Filled Life Bible. It is a King James Bible. But on every page was this Word Faith Charismatic commentaries on every page. You'd have a little bit of the Bible here. Then you'd have some writer's commentary about what it really means. What it really should say. So that they show up to this Bible study. And this gal is reading from, not the Bible. She's reading from the notes, the commentary that says, never, ever, ever say the words, If it be thy will, O God, in your prayer. You're shaking your head, Melissa. Because I'm pretty sure the Bible tells us that Jesus himself said, if it be thy will. Jesus himself said it. Jesus himself said, I'll do it by the book. See the difference? And what's happening is that people are feeding on the commentaries and they're not reading the book. Dake was bad about it. Here's Joyce Myers. Biggest thing about Joyce Myers is, watch, I want to give an example of epigenetic cancer. She'll read out of a King James Bible. She'll stand there in front of 40,000 people. And her whole ministry is cancer. You know why? Let the women remain silent in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. For the woman was first deceived, not the man. Her whole ministry is cancer at its core, because the Bible tells her, sit down, keep your mouth shut in church. You're not authorized to stand and usurp the authority over the men of your church. You're not authorized to do that. She has decided, like Sterling does with the instruction manual, we don't need that anymore. This is a new, God's doing new things. He's giving us new ideas, new visions, new words. Oh, we believe the Bible. Oh, yes, we believe the Bible. We're just not going to use it. That is cancer by way of epigenetics. Not only does it affect the DNA, but these preachers and these churches and these ministries, whole denominations, saying, we don't need the Bible anymore. We know enough to be able to do this on our own. And that itself creates cancer. Jesus said, take heed that you be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, and saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. Matthew 24:11. Many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. 1 John 4:1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. You may have going on in your body right now hundreds of thousands of cells that didn't copy the DNA right. And your body is doing the right thing by cutting it off and saying, you're not going to infect the rest of this body. You're not going to do this. Now, every now and then, I'm just going to tell you like it is. I will know things about people that you don't know. Sometimes you'll know things about people that I don't know. But I have had to stand in the way of people who wanted to bring things in this church that were not right. And I hate it. I hate that part of it. But I can't let cancer start in here. Can't do it. You wouldn't want it. You wouldn't want cancer, would you? Cancer is an invasive disease. The words of a talebearer are as wounds. Notice their words. Who in here really thinks that words cannot harm somebody? Words can hurt worse than a fist. A fist can jack your jaw. Words can cut your heart in pieces. Bruises, yeah. The words of a talebearer is wounds. 2 Timothy 2:17, their word will eat as doth a canker. You know what Paul was saying? We're not going to let Hymenaeus and Philetus in our midst ever again. Why? Because their words eat as a canker. And I have, in all the years I've been pastoring, I've seen more than one occasion where people would come in, well, you had great hope for them, and pretty soon, and this is the way it is now, they start looking stuff up on the internet. And the words, the cancerous words are on YouTube, Facebook, they're all over the internet. The best that I can do is try to give you straight on the real word of God, so that hopefully you'll hear them say something that you'll say, you know what? I heard preacher quoting that verse the other day, and that doesn't sound right what they said. Hopefully, that's what will happen in your life. But that's the best that I can hope for. Because their words will eat as doth a canker. All it takes for you is like one video off YouTube, and you're hooked. Who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. The foundation of God standeth sure. You've got the right Bible in your lap.
Amen.
Okay? You don't need to spend all that time on the internet trying to find truth. You've got a whole Bible's worth of it right there in your lap. Read the thing. Amen? Paul said, but I fear lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. Psalm 140, verse 3, they have sharpened their tongues like serpents. Adder's poison is under their lips. Romans 3:13, their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips. He's talking about the words of their mouth going into you. It's poison. It's poisoning your mind. Rock and roll music, poisoning the mind. Sitcoms, TV shows, videos, movies, things like that, poisoning people's minds. The tongue can no man tame, James said. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Watch out what they're saying. Okay? He mentioned, as the serpent beguiled Eve. I'm just run through this very quickly. So your mind should be corrupted. You see that? That's cancer. Words become cancer. The thing that the devil did in the Garden of Eden was, yea, hath God said. Let's question God's word. That's how the YouTube people work. They'll say, now, and your King James says this, but we got a hold of the original Hebrew. The original Hebrew, it really says this, some mystical new thing that you would have never gotten from Mike Hoggard. In fact, he won't teach this. He's scared. I've had people say that about me. And all of a sudden now, they've got you thinking that the Bible that you've been reading is not right. That's the first hook. Once they get that in you, the rest of it's easy. Yea, hath God said, then contradict God's word. Ye shall not surely die. Oh, you must keep the law. You can keep the law if you wanted to. You can keep all the laws of the Old Testament if you really wanted to. That's their hook. That's what they're going to get you in. They're going to convince you of something that's not true. For God doth know. You know what that part is? God has a secret knowledge that he wouldn't give to you through Bethel Church. You'll never get this at Bethel Church. You have to come and get this secret knowledge from us, because we're going to give you the real stuff. That's what the devil did. Three things he did to Eve in the garden. That's how he got her. And just so happens, I counted these words. You've heard me talk about this. How many words are here that the devil spoke to Eve in the King James? 46. That's the number of chromosomes where your DNA is. 46 words, George. Going right after your seed to corrupt it. Cancer. Okay? Here's the antidote right here, and I'm done. Isaiah 29. In that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. How many of you remembers the day when God opened your ears? And all of a sudden, the Bible sounded sweet to you instead of stupid. God opened your eyes one day, and you just decided that you were a filthy, worthless, hell-deserving sinner, and the Bible was the best thing you'd ever read in your life. You can't get enough of it. Ephesians 5:26, he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Purification in your soul will come by the word of God. And I've told you this before, do this. When you're online and you're hearing stuff and you're not sure if it's true, shut it down. God, show me the truth. And then get this bucket of water here and soak yourself in it until all that nasty stuff you've been feeding in off the internet just comes sliding off of you. Amen? Use the Bible to clean your mind. Holding forth the word of life that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Hold forth the word of life. If you'll keep this Bible close to your heart and close to your mind, that stuff won't take effect. You'll see the false teaching, you'll target it for destruction, and you'll say, that will not come into my mind. I'll not believe that. Somebody say amen. Stand to your feet. I cannot let cancer spread. Now, I know everybody in here has got a little theory on just about everything in the Bible. It's just like brothers and sisters. We are the same, but we're not all the same. Okay? My sister likes stuff that I'm just going, where in the world did you get that? Okay? We are different, but we're just like our mom and dad. In this church, yeah, we're going to see things differently. I get that. But when it comes down to this book, I think we're all in agreement. It's right. That's all we really need to concern ourselves with, is the Bible right? Amen? That way we know we're all got the same daddy. I've been tested. I'm KJB positive. Amen?